So I wanted to start with veteran affairs. They've been in the news lately, and with Memorial Day, we've seen how some vets in other cities across the state are being assisted. Are there certain places here in Greencastle or Putnam County that vets can go to help get some various assistance throughout their way?
We do. We have a Veterans Affairs office that's located in the county courthouse, and they're housed on a more of a part-time basis, but they do have regular hours each week, and so veterans can have that accessibility. They're also provided through that office with transportation if needed to get to the VA hospital or to have other appointments that they might require some help with transportation.
Is there a number one need that is kind of a priority, or is it all across the
I
board?
think it's all across the board, depending on the age of the veteran and how long they have been out of service. In my former life, one of the things I used the Veterans Office for a lot was contacting service folks when they were out of the country, when they had a family member who had issues. So they act as both a conduit for communication with veterans or people who are in the active military, as well as telling people about benefits, helping them understand what might be available to them as they re-enter, and then, most certainly helping them to find local resources outside of the VA that can help with their transition.
I see where the Humane Society of Putnam County reached an agreement with the county to fund and operate the animal shelter that's been closed
Thank goodness.
for quite a
Yes.
while. Now, I know this is
A
more
couple
of
of
a
years.
county story, but did the city have any input on this?
Actually, what we've been trying to do is work on the reopening of the Humane Society for the last 2 years. And most certainly, it's an issue that affects city governments, that affects the towns, affects the county in general. And what do you do with animals that need to be housed, are unwanted, who are left? So we've been working diligently together and cooperatively to try and figure out ways not only to get the shelter to reopen, but how animal control will be provided. And as you know, by state statute, that falls under the purview of county government, and been working closely with the sheriff's department here in terms of structure. And there's been an advocacy group who's worked with the county government talking about what we can do about raising money through the accumulation of dollars through dog taxes and what that can do to help with the sustainability. Meanwhile, in order to make that happen, this great group of dedicated volunteers has been running a facility called Rescued Treasures. So they operate as a drop-off place for those gently used goods that people don't want and would like to see repurposed, and all sales from that are going into their account at the Community Foundation, and then will help support services at the Humane Society as it enters. From the city's perspective, it is something that we do feel very strongly about, making a financial commitment to help to support. And so, through use of our edit fund, we have $10,000 a year that we earmark for contribution for what we're able to use the Humane Society for and get help with animal control for our officers within the city.
These past 2 years of inactivity, have you been relying on other people, places, counties to help out with animal
Wishing we
control?
could find them, because
Yeah.
I think as you look around, most certainly surrounding Putnam County, it's very
Yeah.
difficult to find anybody who's got space available. I think animal control is an issue that unfortunately is really wreaking havoc in the quality of life issues that people like to talk about. I mean, what happens to unwanted animals? How can we get good homes for them? How can we connect those animals with people, whether they're in New England because they've done so well with spay and neuter programs, who want animals that aren't available? How do we make those kinds of things happen? And being able to have a good animal control system and a shelter working hand in hand, I think, is most certainly the best prescription that we found in the last 2 years, and everyone's looking forward to that.
I see where there's been further development in the downtown parking lot construction
Oh,
with the
yes.
help of a new grant that's separate from the Stellar grant.
Well, actually,
Or are
it's
they
not separate from the
okay?
Stellar Grant. What happened was, through the Stellar Grant, we had last year been awarded $3.6 million in grant and some extra financial repayable community development loan to build a parking garage. Those parking garage bids we went out twice came in considerably over what we had the finances to be able to make happen. So that was actually canceled out, that grant, and we went back to the drawing board and presented IHCDA again with what we hoped would be a something that they would find justifiable in terms of how they are delivering their funding, which would, again, provide parking for us. The thing that this year gave us was an opportunity to revisit the whole issue. And what we were able to do was do an awful lot with underground stormwater detention with the surface lot that we would not have been able to do with the parking lot. So as we went back to IHCDA, and it was just actually just 2 weeks ago this week that they approved a grant of $1.6 million for us, and that's to build two surface lots. The attractive part about that, not only was it a cost savings, obviously, to Indiana Housing, but what it does is it ties in our stormwater system on some of the NDOT work we're doing this year and next year, part of Stellar, to the parking lot, and then slowly allow that stormwater to be released into the rest of the system, which we didn't have a conduit for before. So as frustrated as we have been over the parking issue, I think we finally have a great viable solution. And later this month, we're going to be opening up bids, and hopefully we'll be starting construction, and we'll see that finalized before we get too far into the fall of 2014.
So when we talk about the two parking lots, mm-hmm. does that open up a new budget line for the city for just maintenance for the upcoming budget year?
You know, actually, again, it's one of those things that's going to require less maintenance than a parking garage would have required for us. And what we will be doing was the same thing we do with the parking lots we have now. I mean, we'll be dividing up the work between parks and DPW, and we'll be able to take care of those lots, I think, without too much difficulty. Certainly, they were designed in such a way that the maneuverability for street sweepers in them is very viable. And so I think it's not going to be a major issue in terms of having to add extra dollars to either one of those budgets.
And are these free spots?
They're going to be free
metered?
Spots. No, 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 free spots. Uh-huh. The whole issue is effort that we're trying to concentrated way go forward and change is the parking patterns of those people who actually work in the downtown, who tend to like to park as close to the door of their office as possible. And we're going to encourage them very strongly through changes in our parking ordinances to move into the lots that we have available. Walk a block instead of being right outside the door might be an inconvenience for some, but we really want to encourage the parking in the downtown, which will also be free, to people who are coming to visit a restaurant or to grab a Starbucks or to get to a bookstore, whatever they might be looking for, easily, quickly, and at no cost.
So how do you do that, or what kind of regulations have to change in order to kind of force those employees to park in the slot and leave those, as you said, open to customers?
Right now, we have a two-hour parking limit between 8 and 5 in downtown and about 294 spots. What people have been doing is saying, okay, I park in this one place, and by 10:30 I'm going to leave work and I'm going to move over to the next space. And fortunately, we have the ability with the system that the city police use who do that patrolling to say, you know, this car has been in one of these spaces already today. You can't just move it to another one, otherwise you're going to be ticketed or eventually towed. So the ability to move to different spots in that 294 is going to be gone. They're going to have to be in a lot that's not going to be restricted in that way.
I also have to bring up road construction updates. Yeah. I know we talked about that last month, but this is probably one of the largest projects in terms of road construction, probably in, what, a decade at least, if not longer?
Well, we've been doing a lot of road construction,
yeah.
So I can't say
yeah.
it necessarily is, but it certainly is one that ties up a real fundamental artery in our downtown from the university to the downtown. And it affects businesses, it affects people who live along that route, and it is a long ordeal that the street is completely gone. The good part is that the structures are now getting in place to be able to move our stormwater out, and you can see a roadbed starting to come back again. So it's still a lot of construction. The thing that we haven't started yet is our normal resurfacing and milling and putting in new ADA ramps and sidewalks. And so when we get those bids back again later this month, we're going to see sporadic construction activities in different areas of town, but right now it's still concentrated in the downtown. We've got another western entrance to town that's going to be out to bid still this year, and that's going to create a little bit of havoc in that area. But right now we're just kind of pacing ourselves.
I also say I want to ask you about funds for a loan also awarded to renovate an old school into senior living apartments. Has this been in the works for a while?
It's been in the works for about a year and a half. Okay. What we realized was that our Greencastle Community Schools used to house administrative offices and used to do a lot of storage in an old school that they had closed down, golly, now probably 35 years ago. And so when we started looking at the deed for that, and the school started looking at the deed for that, lo and behold, the building belonged to the city and not to the school corporation. So for all of these years, we were under the assumption that it was the school corporation's building and they would need to hopefully figure out a repurposing for it. We learned it's a city building. We went out for proposals last year. We selected Milestone Ventures. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to remember, I think we had five different proposals come back. They were all for living units, senior living units, which has been established as a need in our community. Most certainly the location of this school is a wonderful location for anybody who enjoys the park system. It just backs right up on the main city park where there are summer concerts and obviously recreational opportunities. It also is virtually at the entrance of DePauw University, so we have a whole wealth of wonderful musical venues, athletic opportunities that are within walking distance. So we did select Milestone Ventures. They're talking about putting in 33 units for senior living in that area, and they were awarded some federal tax credits for it, and they again were able to get this grant that will be repaid. Actually, it's a loan, community development loan. But they will be moving forward, and they actually hope to have people in by the fall of 2015. So it's a wonderful repurposing of a building. It stabilizes a neighborhood that has been really concerned about what happens to an old school building. And they started a crime watch program in the area just so the neighbors would be more watchful in terms of who was coming and going from the abandoned space. So it really has been a win-win. It was a wonderful day at Indiana Housing that we found out about the Miller School and the money's dedicated to that, and then they approved our parking lot request. So it was a good day.
The former Miller School also, it has that sense of being historic.
Yes.
And I think part of that reconstruction is keeping some of the facade. Is that important too to the residents here?
It's definitely important. It's part of a historic neighborhood. We here in Greencastle have three historic neighborhoods, and the downtown square area is also on the National Registry. And we're right now have an application in to make our Forest Hill Cemetery part of the National Registry also. So being able to celebrate what has been here and to realize how important it is to the architectural integrity of our community is huge. And the fact that they're going to take the main portion of the school and be able to add on to that and make it handicap accessible by adding on to a new unit in the back and making it compatible with the original structure is really exciting. And it's going to be, that's our second time that a school has been reinvented into, one is into condos that used to be the old high school, this is going to be into apartments, and an old hospital that we had was also converted by a local developer to apartments a number of years ago. So it's a wonderful repurposing.
I see where the Putnam County Playhouse opened for a new season of theater for the area. I assume that kind of adds to the livelihood of Greencastle now that summer is here, right?
Most definitely. We started our Wednesday music program last week, and that's got more of a classical bent, and that is a Greencastle Summer Music Festival, which is held at Gobin Church. Actually, we're going to be, this is the first week that we have our Parkfest program beginning, and we'll be celebrating 30 years of the Greencastle Civic League, which brings the entertainment together every week in our Roban Park. And most certainly the Playhouse in its first production not only is a wonderful venue for local theater, but also for those who are interested in participating in local theater. And they have children's theater and children's workshops also. So it's just like a school's out, there's lots to do, the pool's open, the splash park is being built as we speak. And so I think people are genuinely excited about what happens now that the temperatures have gone up and the schedule's gotten a little lazier.